Welcome to the Torah Te'imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanaleh Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph. To be clear, this designation of the Sefer as Shmuel Beis is not our designation, meaning that according to Chazal, there is only one Sefer called Sefer Shmuel. It's actually the Archbishop of Canterbury back in the 1200s who split Tanakh into the Perek and Pasuk system, which we use today, and also divided Tanakh from the 24 Svarim that Chazal gave us and divided it into 39 Svarim. And that's why we will see that sometimes this division does not make any sense. For example, this story that we're going to be starting in Shmuel Beis is really a direct continuation of where we ended off in Shmuel Aleph. However, this Perek and Pasuk system is irreversibly entrenched in the way that we learn. After the non-Jewish printer Daniel Bomberg printed his Mekorais Kedoshos in 1518 in order, and that became what we all use, it would be very, very difficult now to bring it back to the system that used to be used. Daniel Bomberg is also known for creating the Tzuras Hadaf, meaning the way that the Shas, that we have the Shas today with the pages of Daf, with our Daf Yomi, that was also the first one who did that was this Christian printer. But we have to keep in mind that sometimes this Perek system or the Svarim system don't really make so much sense. So as I said, this Perek begins with the end of the story of the death of Shaul HaMelech. We meet David coming back from fighting Amalek, and he's going to get a report from the battlefield. Pasuk Aleph 1. Vayhi acharei mos Shaul. It's after the death of Shaul. V'David shav mehakos es ha'amalek. And David is coming back from defeating Amalek. In this pasuk, we see he is called Shaul, not Shaul HaMelech. Later on, in Perek Chaf Aleph, in the 21st Perek, the Jews will be punished for not giving Shaul enough honor on his death, for not giving him enough of a eulogy. And it's hinted in these words, Acharei Mos Shaul, after Shaul's death and not after the king Shaul died. And we also get the reason why they didn't give him enough respect, and that is because V'David Shav Mehakot HaAmalek, that David is coming back from a victory against Amalek. David is clearly on his way up, and the Jews are scared. Is it appropriate for us to mourn Shaul when David is going to be our king? From the events that we're going to talk about over the next couple of prokim, it's going to be very clear that they were mistaken, and David has no such pretensions. And on the third day, after Shaul's death, a person came from the battlefield from Shaul, and he had torn clothes, it looked like he was mourning, and he comes to David, and he bows to David. It's on the third day, which always holds significance. We have a lot of third days in our histories, for example, the Akedah, the sacrificing, the proposed sacrificing of Yitzchak happens on the third day. And it's time for David to fully take over the Malchus, the kingdom. And no one can take away anything from anyone else. And so when it's time for David to be king, Shaul dies, perhaps so that he shouldn't have to witness it, because it was going to be too hard. And it's a person who self-identifies as an Amaleki who's going to come with the report. David asks him, who are you? Where are you coming from? And why are you coming to me? And he gives him the devastating news in Pasuk Dalet number 4. Vayomer asher nasha'am min hamelchama. The nation, they retreated. They retreated in despair. V'gam harbe nafal min ha'am v'yamusu. And many, many people died. V'gam sha'ol v'yohenesan b'nai mesu. And it's not just many people, but specific people. Sha'ol and Yohenesan, his son, died. And then he reports that he, this Amaleki, this person who's coming to give the report, he came across Shaul, who was almost dead. And Shaul said, please kill me. And I did kill him. Of course, there's something that resonates here, that it's Dafka, a person from Amalek, who is going to be involved in this story. And that's because part of the reason that Shaul is not going to be able to keep his kingdom and to remain king was because of his negligence in not killing out Amalek. Now, the interesting thing here is that we don't know if this story is actually true, meaning that at the end of Shmuel Aleph, when we learn about the death of Shaul, we have Shaul killing himself on his sword, which, of course, is a question. Either way, meaning, was Shaul allowed to kill himself? Was Shaul allowed to ask somebody to kill him. According to the Avnei Shoam, a person who is chayav misa, a person who is liable to die for something that he knows he should die for, is allowed to create the situation where that death comes. And because the Navi had told him that he would die, that he is going to die, he was allowed to carry it off on his own. But either way, we don't know what actually happened, meaning we don't know if Shaul killed himself or if perhaps this boy passed by a dead Shaul and thinking that he was going to get reward for saying, from David, for saying that he killed Shaul, he pretends to have been the one to kill Shaul. As a proof, the boy says, "Ve'akach ha-nezer asher al reshay," he took the crown from Shaul's head, and he took the bracelet that Shaul was wearing, and here, I brought them to you. Why would Shaul be wearing a crown and a bracelet to war, especially a war that he knew he was destined to lose? Rashi brings the Targum Yonasan, which says that it was not any crown, it was not any bracelet, it was the tefillin, and this is the way a Jewish king goes to war, wearing his tefillin. The Aleyona says that the bracelet was a bracelet that the king used to wear, and it had a tiny Sefer Torah attached to it, one that went with him everywhere. So this Amaleki, who purportedly killed Shaul, came to tell David and to give him the crown jewels. Of course, this is a tremendous test for David. There is the knowledge now that he's not going to be chased anymore, and yet he has the strength to be reflective. He could have been happy, which is clearly what the Amaleki expected. And yet, in Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, Vayechazek David b'gadav, and David grabs hold of his clothing, Vayikra'im, and he tears them, V'gam kol ha'anashim asheritai, when all the people around him see the king tearing his clothes, so do they, Vayispedu, and they gave him, they eulogized him, Vayivku, and they cried, Vayatsumu, and they fasted at ha'arav, they fasted until evening, al Sha'ul, Baal Yehonasan B'nai, Baal Am Hashem, for Shaul, and for Yehonasan his son, and for the nation of Hashem, Baal Beis Yisrael, Ki Naflu Bacherev, and for the entire nation, because they died by sword. For all these reasons, they cried. He cried, they cried. There's no time for personal relief. He honestly didn't feel it. It's interesting that the order here is first the eulogy and then the crying. Usually, the Netziv says, when there is a shattering of the world of the mourner because of the death, the crying comes naturally and first. Then comes the eulogy, which talks about all the reasons, all the great deeds of the person who passed away. Here, the people of David are not going to cry bitter tears over the death of their enemy. So David eulogizes him, and once they hear the eulogy and understand what they lost, they are brought to tears. And then the end of this Ger Amaleki. He is going to be put to death by his own admission. David wanted to make it absolutely clear here and now that no one is going to get any reward for killing out Shaul's family. And then he is going to say his eulogy. There is so much to say about this eulogy, of the more beautiful pieces that we have in Tanakh, examples of eulogies. Pasuk Yud Zayin 17. Vayikoinen David esakina hazoiz al Shaul va'al Yehonasan b'nai. And David gives this eulogy for Shaul and for Yehonasan b'nai and for Yehonasan his son. And he's saying it, Shaul and Yehonasan, as if the two of them were one, as if they meant the same thing to him, when in truth he had no greater enemy than Shaul and no greater friend than Yehonasan. In fact, Yehonasan is the epitome of a true friend. He is the example of true friendship that we get in Pirkei Avos. When our sages want to describe to us what is a true friend, they bring the example of David and Yehonasan. And we marvel at David's ability to totally overlook any personal wrongdoing which Shaul had done to him. And in the name of all the Jews, he was able to subjugate any personal feelings he had. And this is what a king has to be. And this is the way he's going to begin his melucha, his kingship. Nothing is about me. This is not about me. This is about the Jewish nation. There are three times in this eulogy where the words are repeated. Eich naflu giborim. How did mighty ones fall? Over and over again. Eich naflu giborim. And this word eich comes from the same word as echa. Echa, of course, is the Megillah which we read on Tisha B'Av. And Echa, how is it possible that we came from where we came from and look at where we are now? It's the word that says, it's not possible that they died. They were the strongest people. Not just physically strong. We are talking about heroes of strength, of spiritual strength, of personal strength. How is it possible that these people are no longer with us? And then in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Benos Yisrael, El Shaul Bechena, the woman of the Jewish nation, cry for Shaul. Hamal Bishchem Shani, he used to dress you in beautiful red clothing, im adanim, with jewelry. Hama'ale Adei Zahav Alavushchem, he put gold jewelry, gold ornaments on your clothing. Many explanations here, but on a simple level, Shaul, who is way up there, the king of the whole Jewish nation, he used to take care of everyone and everything. As your husbands went to war, he made sure that you were taken care of. Of course, this pasuk resonates with us so much today. Tzar li alecha, pasuk chafav 26. Tzar li alecha, achi Yoinasan, my brother Yoinasan, it's so hard for me. Na'amta li ma'aid, you were so pleasant to me. Nifla'asa ahavaschali me ahavas nashim. Your love for me was greater than the love of woman. And he is referring back here to Pasuk Chaf Dalet, to Pasuk 24. Whereas the woman should cry over the death of Shaul, who used to take care of them physically, I myself, my crying is going to be more than the crying of woman. I myself will cry over the death of Yohanan because of what I gained from him. But then more. The woman cried because they lost something they needed. But with Yohanan, there's a relationship which makes it much more than that. It was a relationship, the Rama Mipano says, the ability of Yohanan to give the melucha to David. When he knew that when he was saving David's life and his relationship with David meant that he, the crown prince, was likely not going to be the king because David is going to take his place. Where does this tremendous strength come? Where does this love come from? The Rama Mipano says, Me ahavas nashim, because of the love of the two women. Who are these two women? Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah were the two wives of Yaakov, and Shaul and Yohanan comes from Rachel, and David comes from Leah. And because whatever conflict there was back then, and from whatever we see back then, it was all l'shem shemaim. The two women, Rachel and Leah, were building for the sake of Hashem, and so was Yohanan, and so was David. And therefore, this love that we had was a transcendent love. It wasn't just between us. We loved each other because we understood that whatever actions we were taking for the sake of Shemayim. Nifleisa ahavaschali, he says, the love that you had for me was a pella. That I loved you is not a pella, it's not a wonder. The wondrous part is that you loved me. I was your rival, and yet you loved me and took care of me. And we will end with one more lament. Ech naflu gibarim. How is it possible that the strong ones have fallen? Vayovdu klei melchama. And the klei melchama is talking about the tools of war. But he says it's so much more than the tools of war. You were the war. You were the nation. You were the soldiers. You were the ones that the merit of Klal Yisrael stood on your shoulders. And what are we going to do now? Ech naflu gibarim. How is it possible that such mighty people have fallen? So in this parak, we see the first piece of the transition from Shaul's kingdom to David's kingdom. And we see David passing his first real test. Is he going to be able to overcome the natural feelings of relief and understand and be able to convey not just to himself but to his nation the great loss that has been suffered here? Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmot Imotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer and Sarah Schenker, Aleim HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.